Hello, brothers and sisters. We're so thankful that we have this opportunity to gather before the Lord. Just like before, shall we have a time of prayer? So, brothers and sisters, please follow the leading of the anointing. May all brothers and sisters feel free to pray for this meeting. You do not need to pray long, just a few simple words. Let's together place this meeting into the hand of our Lord. So as we begin, let's have a time to pray. We'll give the time to all brothers and sisters now. Abba, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you because you are worthy of our great praise. And together as one man, we stand before you. According to your name, we stand before you to worship and to praise you because we can boldly come and stand before you. Our hearts are so full of thanksgiving and praise. And no matter when there are two or three gathered, you are here with us. You are holy. You are established upon the praises of the throne of Israel. You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. May all the earth praise you. May all who have breath worship and praise. We truly want to thank and praise you. And we wait before you. We do pray that you would quickly send your son to return. And that your messenger would do his work and that we may have a portion in your work. We are here, Lord. We want to place our entire being before you. And we do call out to you, do not pass us by. Do not pass us by, because you are the glorious Lord. You are the honorable, majestic Lord. All things are laid open before you. You are the one who is before all men. And so in our hearts, may you rule and reign. May you rule and reign even in your church. We prostrate ourselves to worship you. Our hearts do look for you and wait for you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. And together we can gather in your presence. It is because of your mercy you have called us. We thank you because on people like us, you have begun your work. Before you, Lord, we pray that you would constantly do the work of understanding and opening. May we have a teachable heart so that as we gather, may we together mutually support one another. Lord, may we truly be led by your Holy Spirit in this little bit of time. Do be with us. We do thank you for giving us this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Together as we gather in your presence, do quiet our hearts because we are so busy. Lord, we're oftentimes so disturbed by all the things of this world, but because you are ruler and reign, you give us peace. And so our hearts say, Lord, we are all here to open up your word to us. In your most precious name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, we do desire for you to be among us. And so we reverently invite you to come into our presence and speak to us, meet with us. Lord, we are willing that in this amount of time, it would all be remembered by you in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we do thank you that in these end times, you remind us that we need to come back to the origin, to the root, the source and beginning, that we would be firmly be stepping upon all the land that you have promised us, so that in our steps, Lord, that you may meet us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, as we come into your presence, we pray that you would give us a desire for your will and your heart so that we would gain more of you, so that you may gain more of us. Lord, upon us, may we have true spiritual reality that is clearer and clearer as time goes by. Be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are Jehovah with us. And you have led us here, so we do open up our mouths wide for you to fill us. We are willing for you to fill us. Because all the abundance is in Christ Jesus, and in you we have gained all things. And so may we not only gain all things, but may you also gain all of us. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. You have again called us and gathered us. Hear our cry. May my requests be brought up to you so that your words may come to my understanding. May my requests come up to you so that you may respond accordingly. May I give you the praises of my mouth because you teach me with your law. May my lips speak the words of praise, because your words are our provision. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you. Again, you give us this opportunity to gather in your presence. Before your throne of grace, we prostrate ourselves. Through all the things that have happened around us, you remind us to tell us that these are the very end times, and you are about to finish your work. And so we thank you. You leave us here on earth. You still give us opportunity. And so, Lord, we so desire that in this amount of time, we would come to understand your will in us individually, and as well as your will in the church, so that we may grab a hold of this little bit of time, that we may live in your presence. Lord, we know that while your work is about to be accomplished, and yet you still want to gain some vessels on earth so that you may accomplish your work. So we're willing to say, Lord, we are here. We desire that you may gain more of us. We desire that in this age, that in your hands, we would be useful vessels for you, so that together we may accomplish your will. We pray that you would establish this little bit of heart desire we have. And here, as we have some mutual fellowship and a little bit of pursuit, may the Holy Spirit upon us do a deep work in us. We do pray that at this time, may our heart and mind completely be separated as unto holy to you. Focus our entire being before you so that we may come to know you. We thank you. May you richly anoint all brothers and sisters, no matter where we are, so that we'll be full of your anointing. Thank you. We reverently place this following time into your gracious hands. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank the Lord that together we can gather in his presence. And I do ask, brothers and sisters, please do show your video. Please do turn on your camera if possible, because we are gathering together and we do hope to see all brothers and sisters. And so in today's gathering, we do want to ask the brothers in Minneapolis, We thank the Lord. Brother Andrew has helped us found 8 brothers and sisters. They will together lead us in memorizing the book of Colossians. There will be 2 who will read a chapter, or who will memorize a chapter, and then 2, it's kind of like a relay. 2 will recite 1 chapter to another chapter. And for other brothers and sisters, please mute your microphone, and then you can also follow along in memorizing. And so this meeting, we do hope that we could memorize all 4 chapters of the book of Colossians. Why are we doing this? I feel that because in the past, brothers and sisters have used much effort and energy to memorize this book. It's not easy. We thank the Lord. And so we hope not only do we just memorize it and you've turned in your homework, but we hope that this book would remain in our hearts, in our thoughts, so that we're constantly meditating on it. As we memorize scripture, the purpose is mainly so that brothers and sisters will be very familiar with the Bible. It's not so that you could establish any record, but for you to be familiar with God's word. So as we continue on, if you have an opportunity, constantly meditate to memorize. We hope that these scriptures can become a very familiar passage to us. This is the purpose. And so in today's gathering, as we begin, let's memorize together all 4 chapters of the book of Colossians. And so now I'm going to pass the time off to our brother Andrew in Minneapolis. Please do lead the time. Brother Andrew speaks. Yes, we have 8 brothers and sisters, 2 per group. They are going to memorize right now. This is not a recording. So brothers and sisters at home, please do follow. And Brother Sun says, if you are memorizing in English, please also do that. Memorize on your own. After chapter 1, we're just going to continue on to chapter 2. Please remember to unmute when you are reciting. Okay, we're going to start now. We thank the Lord. We thank our brothers and sisters who led us in reciting and memorizing the entire book of Colossians. I do also believe that brothers and sisters in various locations, you've used much effort to memorize this book. We do hope that the grace of the Lord and his word may be retained in the hearts of our brothers and sisters. We do hope that this love and faithfulness towards his words, that it would also have an impact on your various churches, that in this time that we would pay attention, that we would love God's words. And so right from the beginning, we have said that as we pursue this time, we have 4 different lines that we are following in. Among them, 1 is that we need to be very familiar with God's words. The purpose is to be familiar with God's word. Later on, if the Lord wills and we have an opportunity, we're going to have some fellowship and explanation in the book of Colossians. Along these 4 lines, there's another important line, that we need to follow the teaching of the anointing. We need to live beneath the anointing. This is also very important. To read, to memorize, and to remember God's word is good. But we also need the anointing so that we can understand God's will. You need to eat God's word, and from his word you receive nourishment and provision. This is why we follow the teaching of the anointing in our daily life. This is very important. And so I've now also asked some brothers and sisters in different places that according to following the leading of the anointing in their own experiences, we have asked them to also have some fellowship with us. We hope that these experiences can become very common. We thank the Lord. There are some brothers and sisters who are willing to share some of their personal experiences. And I have said before, it does not need to be long, between 3 to 5 minutes. Just the main point of your experience. Please share that with brothers and sisters so that it can be encouragement. So today in Easling, in New Jersey, there are two brothers and sisters who will have some sharing with us. Is Brother Yang Yu among us in DC? Are there brothers and sisters at your place who are prepared to fellowship? Our brother says, no, it's just myself. Later on, if brothers and sisters also have a moving from the Holy Spirit, please also obey, have some fellowship. We will have some time, perhaps, where we will have some freedom so that you can share. But right now, we will pass the time to Brother Yu. Brothers and sisters, hello. I am Brother Chu in Easling of New Jersey. Today, I just want to share. Right now, I have this job. I have worked here for 18 years. I thank the Lord. In these years, the Lord has shown me much grace and watched over me. Today, what I want to share with everyone, the last 3 years, some of the things that have happened. Because when I think about these things, my heart deeply worships the Lord. Because he's really shown me such grace. Before this job, I previously was in New York. I was an IT consultant. Actually, I didn't really like that job, mainly because I have to get up very, very early. And at about 6 o'clock, I had to get ready because I had to take a train to go to Manhattan, the Midtown area. It takes about 1.5 hours to get there. Oftentimes, it takes 2 hours. Now, in the past, I've always had this habit that when I get up in the morning, I need to have my morning devotion time for about 30 minutes or sometimes 1 hour. And so now because of this job, my morning devotion time, it was almost impossible. While I'm on the train, yes, I can read the Bible, but the feeling is different. And so I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, I want to find a good job that's closer to my home. And so that I can now again have my morning devotion time. I prayed about this for a period of time, and then it seemed like the Lord did open up a way through an agent, told me that there is a job close to your home. It's a pretty good company. However, the salary, it needs to be reduced 20% of your current salary. When I thought about that in my heart, I said, I'm willing to try it. So before the Lord, I prayed. Particularly that day of the interview, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, don't know if this is the job you want to give to me, but I'm willing to try. I do want to ask for a sign. And in this sign, after my interview, as I'm going to go back to the parking lot after I get off the train, at the parking deck, there's 5 different levels to it. After 8 a.m., the parking lot was pretty much full. You have to go to the very top to find a parking spot. Lord, if this is a good job, please give me a confirmation that you will give me a parking spot on the lower levels of this parking garage. So then I will know this is the job you want to give me. So I went to the interview. The interview was good. And when I came back, I had to go back to New York, and it was around 10 a.m. And so I drove to the parking garage. As soon as I got in, I went to the very first level. It was completely full of cars, except for one spot that was open. And so in my heart, I thought, okay, Lord, you want to give this job to me. And I thanked him. And yes, after several days, this job gave me the offer. Because now I was grateful, because now I can have morning devotions. Even though the salary was a little less, it didn't matter. After I went to this job, in my heart, I was very thankful because every morning I had time to draw near to the Lord. And then in this amount of time, because in the conference I did hear our brother, who is a speaker, talked about memorizing scripture. And so at that time, every morning, in the 25-minute drive commute to work, I would every day memorize the book of Ephesians, just 2 verses from it. And so I started and I memorized 3 chapters. I thanked the Lord. In that period of time, even though the salary was a little less, but the work was easier. And my relationship with the Lord was also very intimate. But very sadly, about a year and a half, the company said that they were closing down because that company, they made supplies for other factories, but they did not have any business for a long time. And so they needed to close down. So I said, Lord, it's only been a year and a half. How come they're closing down? But I thank the Lord. Everything that is of the Lord, he will watch over. So the company at that time, they had a plan. A project manager came to find me and said, we're going to have a very large project. We need you to come and help. And they transferred me over. And so, yes, a factory closed. So I got transferred over to a headquarters, a building that was even closer to my home. That's 10 minutes away from my house. So I worked there. I worked there after a year. All of a sudden, there was a big news on the newspaper that our company had been purchased by someone else. It had been bought over. And then in my heart, I said, Lord, how is this such a coincidence that this is to happen now? And in that time, everybody's hearts were so full of confusion. A lot of people didn't want to work anymore. And we heard that about 200 some people in IT all needed to be laid off, because their IT was much bigger than ours. So a lot of people went out to look for work. And I also thought about it. I prayed about it. I went to look for work. And before this, I often thought that I wanted to move to California. Brother Sun says, I'm sorry, you do need to shorten your sharing. The main points, please. So during this period of time, I found a job in California, but this job, when I decided whether or not I should go, I prayed before the Lord. I had no peace. I didn't know what to do. Should I go or not go? And then I found Brother Huang to have some fellowship with him. After the fellowship, I prayed. I thought that this prayer allowed me to see that it came out of my own intention rather than God's. So I decided to stay. And after I stayed, I worked diligently, because after the company had been purchased, they needed to be reorganized and integrated into the larger company. So during this reorg, a lot of people rejected cooperating. But in my heart, the Lord gave me peace and says, you do your work well. And so I worked diligently. At that time, a lot of people said, why are you so working so diligently? Our company's being bought over. But the Lord wanted me to. But the main point here is that a coworker came to look for me. At night, because I worked very late, it was already 6 or 7 p.m. He says, I know you are a diligent Christian. Can you please pray for me? I said, of course, yes. And so he sat down. He's older than me by 12 to 13 years old. And at that time, he was already in his 50s. And he says, he's very, very depressed because of the merger. And he didn't know where his future was. He didn't know where to find his next job. So I comforted him and encouraged him, because he's a Catholic. I said, you need to go back to the meetings, read God's word, and let's pray. I led him in prayer. And when he spoke, he began to weep. This grown adult man started crying. But I thank the Lord that this Christian, as a Christian in the company, this is our testimony. It's very important, because in normal circumstances, people wouldn't think much, but in difficulties and crisis, people can see whether or not you can be of true benefit and help to them. So in this matter, I learned much grace. Lastly, after the reorganization, the company did give me a job. And in that job, my salary was the same as the salary from New York, and also gave us a sign-on bonus. And all the bonus added up together, it added up into the lost 20% of the past 3 years. It was all added back to me. So when I think about these things, I see God's grace and His ways. His ways are far beyond what we can imagine. So I thank the Lord. Forgive me, I do want to remind brothers and sisters, our time is very limited. Of course, you have many wonderful stories. If I give you an hour, perhaps you won't be able to finish, but please focus on the main point on following the anointing. Have the fellowship on the main point of what the anointing has taught you. Later on, we can have more opportunities to share the testimonies, to share that with brothers and sisters. I'm sorry, I do need to just remind brothers and sisters. Is there a sister in Eastling? Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm in the same fellowship as Brother Chu. My name is Sister Wang. I want to share a little bit of what the Lord has taught me and led me. And this lesson is how wives need to obey their husbands. Perhaps I'm not able to share it very clearly, but I did come from mainland China, from when I was small, nobody had taught me this or told me that wives need to submit to their husbands. Whoever is the loudest or one in control is the one you have to listen to. But now, gradually, God's word has come to me, and I truly amen it. God says that man does whatever is right in his own eyes. Between husband and wives, if a wife decides to do something or a husband decides to do something, they will never think that they themselves are wrong. They would only do that which they think is right. But this oftentimes would cause problems, because there are many differences between brothers and sisters. We have had many opportunities to learn how to be smoothed out. This is God's grace and mercy who has taught me much. So I truly want to thank and praise and worship him. Between many couples, you will know, there are some personalities who are more impulsive and fast, and there are those who are more thoughtful and slow. Of course, there's many of these things. I'm not going to go into detail about them. After I came to know the Lord, I knew God's word that says, wives, submit to your husbands. And I tried very hard, and it was so full of suffering. With great suffering and bitterness, I realized that I wanted to try to do it, because this is God's command. I must obey and do. But I never did it voluntarily or willingly, and people could tell. And the things I wanted to do well, I could not do well. Conversely, there was no testimony. We need to have peace and joy. Of course, this is my own personal sharing. Everything I've made mistakes on, I just give it to the Lord. Ask for God's mercy. And so the Lord, using his words, because I am very lazy, I did not read his words very much. When I hear his words or a message in a conference, many opportunities his word has come to me. I really want to pursue after the Lord. I want to serve him. But he gave me this thought that God has given me my husband. He is my master. I need to serve him as my Lord. And so with my unwilling heart, I had to learn. So we had to learn a lot of lessons. Many difficulties came, and it was hard for me to get over them, but I had to learn how to submit. But after I submitted and obeyed, there was peace and joy. And then Ephesians, I read how wives need to submit, just as the church would obey the husband as unto the church and Christ. And so I thought, this is something so holy. If I do not obey, then I am sinning against God. I need to repent, to ask God to forgive me and to save me. So I thank the Lord. I realize if I have this heart, he will give me grace. So that in many of these things, I have come out of them. So I really thank and praise the Lord. So now when I see my husband's perspective, even though my perspective is different, but now we learn to have the same perspective, that we are incomplete, but before the Lord, all things are good and beautiful in his sight. So this is a wonderful thing. Previously, I never said words of praise to my husband. I often spoke of his failures and weakness, but now I learn how to speak words of thanks. So now with my mouth, I learn not to judge or criticize, but to thanks. The first I learn to praise God and then give thanks. And so a lot of difficulties would then be overcome. So I thank and praise the Lord. And so the Lord often reminds me that I need to give thanks, often praise, pray unceasingly, and rejoice in all things. Brother Yu, please grab a hold of the time to share a little bit. When Brother Sun called me and asked me to share a little bit on leading, following the leading of the anointing, I thought about it. And the Lord reminded me of this thing. When I believed in the Lord, the brother who led me, they really paid attention to prayer. And so after following the Lord, believing in the Lord, I had left that location and went elsewhere. But yet they had gave me some deep impressions that anytime I had opportunity, I read books on prayer. And I would always attend prayer meetings in church. But after I went to a new place, that new church, brothers and sisters were very simple, and they did also pay attention to prayer. There was a good habit that every time we gathered together, for no matter what reason we gathered, we would always pray together. Of course, we pray together before eating, but generally when people gather, they don't always pray, even if they're not eating, but we would always pray no matter what the gathering. One time I forgot what reason why we got together, but in this gathering, we went to this dormitory. It was a student church, it was a university. And so there were many students who lived in these dormitories. They all lived in the same building and they were generally in the same location. And I don't remember why we got together, but we happened to go. And we were gathered together with some saints. And after we concluded, everyone said, let's pray. When we prayed, a sister mentioned that she was a pianist. And in the East Side competition, she was going to participate in a competition between the East and the West. And so she asked for prayers for that. So we prayed for her. And so the Lord moved me to pray. For this matter. And so may the Lord prepare for her to have the airline ticket, enough money for her to go and participate in this competition, because there's quite a lot of fees in this particular major. A lot of the pianists, they needed to have a lot of fees. And so I prayed about this, and then this matter passed on. Now, because this was a gathering of many students, oftentimes we would have a prayer meeting right after Bible study, and then we would conclude often at midnight. And I live very far away. I had to drive an hour and a half. And then one time, after I came off the highway, I was going to get to the Baltimore Beltway. Inside of me, I had this conversation with the Lord. Lord, I'm often praying for other people. I don't know whether or not you hear me. I don't know if you've listened to me. I had this conversation with the Lord, and then it went on. I remember that location. It was as I was coming off of the Beltway. The second day, the next morning, the sister called me and said that I had prayed for her, and the Lord had heard. He had prepared the airline ticket fees. Now, because I live far away, brothers and sisters, you generally never call for me, particularly between sisters and brothers. And so this was a huge surprise to me. So I thank the Lord that through this matter, he established and strengthened my faith. My brother Sun has said in the past, our spiritual experiences oftentimes is because you've gone through something. And then oftentimes it's like this pattern. When I follow the Lord, whether it's the lesson of the cross or obeying the Holy Spirit, this is how it has been. This is something that I can remember, an experience I can remember. And oftentimes in this pattern, this is my sharing. Thank you. I do think, brothers and sisters, among us, I'm sure there are many good experiences of following the anointing. I hope, brothers and sisters, once you have it, the Lord has given it to you, It's not just for you personally, but it is for the church. And so if, brothers and sisters, in your heart, you have had a daily life of following the anointing, then as we continue on, we still want to give brothers and sisters the opportunity that here to give your testimony. But let me clarify again, because spiritual experiences, they are so broad. Yes, the Lord will answer your prayer. Sometimes it's in your daily life and service, but we want to focus on obeying the anointing. Why is it that I'm talking about this during this period of time? Why am I emphasizing this? It's because in the past, after I was saved, we felt that in the church, many brothers and sisters, because they followed the sense of life, the anointing within them, they had many experiences of such. And now, brothers and sisters, gradually, it seems as if this sense has become loosened. For example, there is an older brother. When he was young, he said, he's a brother. He really liked to wear red socks. He liked to wear red socks. And sometimes after he put on his red socks, he had no peace. And the Holy Spirit said to him, as a boy, why are you wearing red socks? So brothers and sisters, look, these are such small experiences, but they're very practical. They're very practical. So I hope, brothers and sisters, we can come to understand that in our daily life, we make many mistakes. The Holy Spirit will correct us. Sometimes he will lead us. In experiences like this, it needs to be very common among us so that everyone knows how to follow the anointing. Not just in your individual spiritual life, but that the whole church condition, it will have a great change. Oftentimes in my heart, I find some worry or some anxiety because in these years, we have preached so abundantly. There's so much light, but the daily life experiences of our brothers and sisters, we are greatly lacking. Forgive me for saying this. And so we find that in church life, we can't use this in our church life, in our daily life. And so the messages have a huge difference between what we hear and what we live. So many brothers and sisters among us, you have attended West Coast Christian Conference. We've talked about without the Holy Spirit, there's no reality. In the conference, we've had several messages. The brothers also really diligently spoke about this. In the past, have you heard these messages? Do you not know? Probably not. If you have been saved for many years, these messages, you've heard it many times already. Perhaps it's nothing new to you. In various churches, we're also sharing the same thing, but we need to pay attention. This time, the main topic, what does God want? He wants reality. We cannot put our attention just on the outward doctrine. What do we want? We want reality. Do you have that which is real? Without the leading of the Holy Spirit, there's no reality. We know the Father's plan. It is true. Now, our Lord Jesus, when he came on earth, the salvation and redemption he accomplished on the cross is also true. Now, if there were no Holy Spirit, then upon us, none of those things will be true. The Holy Spirit will bring us into the reality. This is such an important matter. And so I hope, brothers and sisters, that we can recover this matter. Do pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is speaking in you. And so now when I ask brothers and sisters to have some fellowship, we all have to look for some special occasion. We find a special situation so that we can have a better story. But no, we need to talk about our daily life. In your daily life, when you say the wrong thing, the Holy Spirit will give you a feeling. Have you ever had that sense before? You had a thought that came into your mind, and then the Holy Spirit will give you this sense. If you can go into such detail like this, then you will find that otherwise your life will be very dry and dull. Oftentimes when we talk about Christianity, it talks about outward activities and these things that they do. In reality, brothers and sisters, if you are not living in the reality of the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's the same way. It's the same thing for us. Perhaps our messages are a little bit more lofty, a little bit light, have more light and revelation in it. But in your daily life, your expression is about the same as others. This cannot satisfy the heart of God. So we need to pay attention to the anointing, the teaching of the anointing. This is so important for us. We need to grab a hold of this point. Without the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the anointing in us, then you cannot have reality. It is impossible. And so if you just talk about this doctrine and that logic, it is not what the Lord wants. And so in your daily life, when you follow the anointing within you, then in your life, you will have that which is real. Then you have the realness of spiritual things in your life. Now, for the sake of time, I cannot go on more about this point. I did have some thoughts about it. But no matter what, as we continue on, we will still talk about it. The waters will continue flow. I'm going to repeat this and I'm going to say this again. I hope that we can talk to such a point where all brothers and sisters within you, you will know how to follow the teaching of the anointing. Then forgive me for saying, then we will be saved. Otherwise, we cannot be saved. Then every day, we're just going to continue year after year like this in our gathering, and there won't be any reality. Oftentimes, when I think back to my youth, into my adolescence, of course, it's not like our condition hadn't reached to that standard. But at that time, how the Lord led us at that time, there were many such things that were very real. All of a sudden, it was as if all these things had been lost. We don't see these things anymore. Of course, I know you all love the Lord. All brothers and sisters, you love the Lord. You have had good experiences of fellowship with the Lord, and you have good church life. You have good service. These are all precious, but we need to emphasize and pay attention to spiritual reality. This is through the teaching of the anointing. We cannot lack it. This is very, very important. When you look in the book of Acts, when we come to the church of Antioch, in chapter 11, there we see that Christians, they were first called Christians there at Antioch. Now, who are these Christians? A lot of people use this as a religious name. This is incorrect. The brothers in the past told us that Christians is not a very good translation. They need to be called men of Christ. Now, everybody is used to saying Christians, and so it's very difficult to change. But we need to know the true meaning. Now, Christians, if you are to define it, these are people who receive the leading, the teaching, and the covering of the Holy Spirit. Are you disciplined and led by the Holy Spirit? Now, the meaning of Christ in the Old Testament means an anointed one. Now, Christ was anointed. Now, today, we are the same as our Lord. We are also those who are anointed. So the life of a Christian begins from an anointing. This is true spiritual life. So I'm willing here, brothers and sisters, on this point to have some more emphasis on it. Without the life of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to have spiritual reality. You cannot have spiritual reality. Even our Lord Jesus on earth, he was Christ. He is Christ. He spoke according to the anointing and acted upon the anointing. It was the same for Paul, for Peter, for John. In the very first century, because they obeyed the leading of the anointing in their daily life, they expressed Christ in a very glorious way. And so today, brothers and sisters, as we come to the end times, please forgive me for saying again and again, many truths, we have lost them. Important spiritual experiences have been lost. May the Lord show us mercy. If in God's hands, we still desire to be a useful vessel in his hands, we need to come back to these experiences. And so I hope, brothers and sisters, in various locations, if you have good experiences, then you want to share them. Of course, I have many, but I've spoken too much already. I do want brothers and sisters, everyone, to share. And I say again, I hope that you can use the shortest amount of time. Just bring up an important point, 3 to 5 minutes, because our time in this gathering is very precious. I cannot give a very lengthy message to explain. And so learn, use the 3 to 5 minutes to share a little bit of what you have experienced of the anointing in your daily life. Share it simply. As we continue on, we want more brothers and sisters to share. Then in the church, as we continue on, that this will be of great benefit to us. And so according to what brothers and sisters have just shared, I do want to emphasize again regarding this sharing. Our sister Elsa asks, Brother Sun says, please 3 to 5 minutes, please keep it short. Last time in our service meeting on Sunday, Brother Sun also met me and said, do you have something you want to share? I said, but I didn't respond. But I do want to share this. In the last service meeting on that day, that night, I was to give a gospel testimony. At the beginning of July, our brother said, you can give your testimony. Previously in May, I was going to, but I went to Taiwan, so I did not. I delayed. So in July, I said yes. We had morning devotion, and our brothers prayed. They said, Lord, may all these words that are spoken be of you. And so in giving my testimony, I said, well, if it's not my words, then whose word is it? But I said, okay, I will wait for the anointing. So I waited and waited. And the Lord gradually gave me some words. And then I continued to wait. But when I was waiting, in my heart, I began to be impatient. And I thought, we're going to share the gospel. A lot of people are going to pray for me. And so I continued to wait. But then time was about to come. And I said, should I prepare an outline? If the Lord didn't give me something, then I will have an outline. I will have something to add in. And then when I needed to make my PowerPoint, my computer wasn't good. I'm going to use my company computer, and then I'm going to print it out because it's in color. It's prettier. So I went to the company to print it, and then I printed it. I was happy. And then at the service meeting on Saturday, we were talking about the teaching, the anointing. And I thought, oh no, my testimony is that I used what was printed out from my company. What can I do? After the service meeting, I thought I needed to redo this. How can I bear testimony using those things? So I needed to redo it all. And the time, it would take too long, but the Lord gave me grace to redo it. Then I told the Lord, doesn't matter what the content is, good or bad. I can't use the past things to bear testimony. So after I read it, everything, I needed to make it more complete. So I said, okay, didn't matter. I'm going to correct it all. I confessed, repented, and then bear testimony. And then in giving the testimony, I do thank the Lord, it was smooth. I'm watching the time. I thank the Lord. He really did lead me. When I give testimony for him, I didn't think that I would do such a thing, but I thank the Lord so that I can be corrected. This is my sharing. 3 minutes and 30 seconds. In our Christian life, at any point in time, these are things that we do hit all the time. When the Holy Spirit, because he dwells in us, he wants to mold us, conform us into the image of Christ. So he's constantly changing us from our mind, our actions, our attitude, everything we think and do, all the aspects he's changing us. From the base things to make it honorable. And so in these details, I didn't understand this in the past. I said, Lord, you're so great. This matter is just a few pennies, this small matter. You care about it? You're such a great God. Why do you care about such small things? I said something wrong. You want to care about it. My thoughts, you care about it. Then I realized, I remember, brothers and sisters, I've told you before, as Christians, the education we receive is the education of becoming a king. You need to remember this. God wants to change us to be honorable and majestic because we're all going to be kings with him. And so in our daily life, that is why he teaches us. This is his great grace for you and I. Doesn't matter on earth. It doesn't matter how dignified you think you are on earth. In God's eyes, it doesn't matter. Only his son matters to him, is the most honorable to him. And so the Holy Spirit inside of me is teaching me. The leading of the anointing is doing this very, very important work in us now. And so as we continue on, we will still have opportunities, brothers and sisters. We will all have more fellowship. And the main purpose, so that once we are clear and we understand how to follow the anointing, you can understand this logic. This is not a strange teaching. But now, is this real? Is this practical? Something that you have experienced? This is something we need to pay attention to. Now, we still have a little bit of time. I'm going to ask brothers and sisters, in the book of Colossians, I do want to share some of the important principles. Because now we've all memorized the book of Colossians. Now you've read this many, many times. I hope that in my fellowship, it can help brothers and sisters so that you can grab a hold of it even more. So now let's go back to Colossians chapter 4. Let's go to Colossians 4. Now, I'm going to read verse 2 through 4. Paul is telling and requesting brothers and sisters in Colossae to devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. If it were us, we would want to have a door opened for us so that we can preach the gospel, right? But Paul says, no, I want to preach the mystery of Christ. I need to speak forth the mystery. So this time, brothers and sisters, when we focus on these two very important epistles of the New Testament, these two epistles, they speak of the mystery of the Lord, the mystery of Christ. Particularly the book of Colossians. It speaks of the mystery of Christ. Starting from chapter 2, verse 2, we see what is the mystery of Christ. It is Christ himself. Later on, when we have opportunity, we're going to talk about the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, it is the mystery of the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us it is the mystery of the gospel. But today, first, I want to tell you the definition and meaning of the word mystery. Let me give you an explanation. For many Christians, we're all afraid of hearing deep mysteries. But brothers and sisters, in order to know God's will, he wants us to understand his mysteries. If you really understand what is God's mystery, then all the things that come out of your daily life, all the things that happen to you, it will be very easy for you to understand it. For many Christians, we pursue after the secondary things, the accessory in our life, how to make friends, how to teach children, all these outward manifestations of our daily life. We pursue after these things, these accessories. I often say that we are like this big tree. In this big tree, there's many leaves and fruits, but very few people pay attention to roots of the tree. Today, the mystery tells us that we need to pay attention to the roots so that we can understand the rest. All the things that are behind the outward things that we see. This is very important. Today, this world that we live in, according to our flesh, these are all very real to us. But if you have a spiritual perspective, you will realize that many of these things are but temporary. They're all vanity. They're all temporary. But for us today, we take these things as the real things. So today, brothers and sisters, because we have been blinded, do you know that from ancient times until today, in all of human history, those who are very intelligent, the philosophers, the scientists, the great minds of human history, they would not be satisfied with just the things that they see on earth. They pursue after the source of this universe. Why do we have such a situation and environment? In philosophy, oftentimes they use this phrase, they want to find the first cause. All the way until today, nobody has told us. What is a cause of things? It tells us where the source is from. What is the source allowed us to have the world we have today? Many people say, don't think about it, because if you think about it, you can't stand it. A lot of smart people, at the end, they just committed suicide because they couldn't stand it. Do we know where this universe came from? Why do we have humankind? And then we chase after to the last question, why is there me? Why is there you? This is a question sometimes that we cannot think about. It's an existential question. Why is there me? Why is there me? In the world, there is no answer. You cannot solve this. But the Bible is very clear in telling us. And so the words of the Bible, It opens up to us and explains to us the mystery of God and tells us the real substance, particularly Colossians and Ephesians. It now explains the mystery. These are two very important books which tell us about the mystery. So we need to pursue in this direction. Don't tell me that this is too deep for me and mysterious. Let's not pull it up so it's so mysterious and high. But to me, brothers and sisters, if I cannot understand that mystery, then today I cannot serve and live well. At least to me, this is very real. Between me and other people, my human relationships would not be good because I have my personality, my temper, and oftentimes in my marital relationship, yes, there are problems. Sometimes when there are problems, if I go back to the origin and the source, then I have a solution. Do you see why this is so important? And so Paul, after he was saved by grace, yes, it seems as if he talks about church life and family life and a lot of problems in human behavior, but Paul tells us he is preaching the mystery. He's speaking about this mystery. This mystery talks about the true substance, that true image. So today, because God has gradually opened up his word to us. As Christians, now we come to understand that all the things that are outside of God's will are empty, are temporary. That is why it attracts many people to love the Lord, to follow him. If you understand this, then your pursuit of the Lord, then it will be different. It won't be like us, that if it's okay, you're careless. If you have it, you have it. If you don't, it doesn't matter. If you go to the meeting, it doesn't matter. If you read God's words, it's okay. Whether or not you preach the gospel, it doesn't matter. Then we're so careless. But look at Paul. He was not careless at all. In Paul's days, he strove with great effort. We said, oh, well, that must be Paul. Only Paul, he would have that type of condition. But Paul hopes that all brothers and sisters would be the same. I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters. God's grace, when it has come to us, we have seen, and even some saints today, they strive with great effort to love the Lord. Why? Because in this world of emptiness, this physical world, they have found something that is true. If you have found, have you found true things, brothers and sisters? If you have not, then your life will be empty. It will not be real. This is a very important matter. I have also told brothers and sisters, why does the Bible use this word mystery? Mystery reminds us that this is not something in your natural intelligence and wisdom. This is not something that you can understand with your own mind. All the intelligent and wise people of the world, no one is able to speak of this clearly. Not one person can speak of this clearly. In the past, I have shared with you before. Now, when Pilate spoke with the Lord Jesus, Jesus says he speaks for the truth. And Pilate says, what is the truth? And the Lord did not respond to him, because the Lord knows you as a Roman person. Even if I spoke to you, you would not understand. And so in history, there's someone who said, our Lord Jesus did not answer, I will answer. And so he wrote a very thick book that says, that is called What is Truth? A lot of people took this book, they read it, they still did not know what is truth. And so man's intelligence is unable to understand God's mystery. We thank the Lord. Honestly speaking, you and I, in all of history, we are more wise than all the people of history, because the wisdom you have, a lot of scientists, a lot of philosophers, they don't have. However, we don't pay attention to this, to that. We don't think it's anything amazing. But today, before the Lord, we have received great grace. So that is why, again and again, I have told brothers and sisters, we do not use our natural mind, natural perspective to look at spiritual things. Even when you read the Bible, it's the same. Use the mysterious wisdom that God has given to you. It is already in you. If you know how to follow the anointing, then, brothers and sisters, you will understand how to use this wisdom. This wisdom in me is very real. I thank the Lord. I have served him until today. According to what? You ask me according to what? Yes, my service is limited. However, all the things in God's words, according to the anointing, is very real. I can explain and understand God's word. This is not according to my natural understanding. I can understand God's words and understand spiritual things, brothers and sisters. This is so precious. And so today, honestly speaking, for all Christians, you need to have a mysterious perspective like Paul, because he understands the mystery behind all these things. And in that mystery, he can now explain daily life, explain church life, explain service, explain the meaning of pursuit. That is what is truly accurate. Do you understand what I am saying? Do you understand the meaning? Paul understood this mystery. Therefore, he could understand marital relationship. He understood the relationship between master and slave and how to teach children. Today, we have thrown that away and we use human experience. This is a huge difference. When we talk about church life today, it's the same. When we talk about church service, we have thrown aside that mystery. And then all the things that we then talk about, they are not real, not true. Brothers and sisters, this gathering here, I can say this to you, some of the words in my own heart. If you can accept this, it will be of great help to you. If you don't understand, don't worry. Pray. I do believe the Lord will help you. Pray about it, because I cannot preach about this on the pulpit or even in special conferences. I cannot say this. But today, I'm willing, when we're talking about the true substance of spiritual matters, I want to have some fellowship with you. May his mercy come upon me to help us to be like Paul, to receive this grace so that we may truly understand God's mystery. So as we continue on, like Paul, when you teach brothers and sisters in daily life and in your fellowship, when you encourage them to be humble, to endure, to be patient, where does it come from? It comes from the mystery. When you encourage brothers and sisters to have good marital relationship, it comes from the mystery. It's not just about compromise and backing up a little bit to let the other person learn the lesson of the cross. Just endure a little bit more. And then the sister becomes so full of suffering. And then the husband is so full of suffering. Next time, remember, where do you begin? You need to begin from the mystery. Paul came from this mystery. Brothers and sisters, do you see? Paul in the book of Colossians, pray for me so that I may speak forth the mystery of Christ, so that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Brothers and sisters, we have come to this age. This is a time of desolation. Regarding true spiritual matters, there are fewer and fewer matters. This is what is truly in my heart. As we pursue together here, we talk about this on the surface level, at the word level. Yes, we know how to speak it, right? But very few of us have that true substance. Do we understand what is God's mystery? I have said before, even as Christians, our salvation is also a mystery. How did you come to believe in Christ? You cannot see or touch him. How did you come to believe him, that he will cleanse you of your sins? Isn't that a mystery? You speak this to your Gentile friends. They will not understand. I've said before, my older brother, He has a very good classmate and friend. He graduated from a very famous university, is a very famous professor. His mother came to become a Christian. And after I preached, he came. And the very first question he asked, what does it mean that there is a God? Why is it that in my dictionary, there's not such a word? Of course, among the Gentiles, you can be more intelligent, but you will still not understand. His mother next to him says, yes, I understand what Brother Sun is saying. His mother could not be compared with his intelligence, but his mother understood that there is a God. Brothers and sisters, from this point on, all things needs to come from your understanding of the mystery. Then you can have true understanding of mystery. Then you will be able to understand and comprehend why things happen in your daily life. Today, we can't just talk about things on the surface level and from its logic and reason to try to teach people. Actually, when you read the Bible, brothers and sisters, you need to be careful. What you are reading and understanding is just merely at the word level. But Paul says, no, what I speak of is not just at the word level. It's not the surface level. It is a mystery. I hope that we don't find this too difficult. God has given us a great mystery and a great blessing. Brothers and sisters, I first want to tell you some important principles. God is willing to give us his mystery. He has shown this in Paul, in John, in Peter. But these people who received the mystery, they have this feeling that the mystery that is revealed is still a mystery. One day when we come into eternity, we will need all of eternity to understand this mystery. Of course, today, if I talk about this too much, then we're all going to be dizzy. But you need to grab a hold of what Paul is saying. Many people, when they read Paul's words, they read the first part, the teachings of daily life, but they did not pay attention to what Paul is saying here in talking about the mystery. This is such an important matter because this is God's matter. It is so deep and it's unfathomable, not what you and I can imagine. So only those who understand the mystery, they pursue with great zeal. Today, if you only understand upon the outward words, then you cannot go very far. As Christians, you will just find it's tasteless. You just talk about this and that. And then again, Christians, you say, as in the conference, we've talked about this over and over. And then you lose interest. Yes. Only once God has completely explained this mystery, then you'll be like Paul and say, Lord, no matter what, he has a great desire. In the Roman prison, he says that I may know Christ. Brothers and sisters, today, if we are to understand God's work in man and that the leading of that true leading, then these two books, they speak of God's mystery. I hope that according to what I understand, have some fellowship with you. Of course, what I understand of the mystery cannot be compared with what Paul understands, but I do hope that I may make clear the way I ought to speak, so that I can stir up, brothers and sisters, stir up your love and desire and pursuit. Brothers and sisters, this is not according to what we think. It's not something deep and mysterious that's too far away from us. No. Is this superstitious and mysterious? Yes, the meaning is deep. However, it comes into the practical everyday aspects of our life. So may the Lord show us grace. Now, as we continue on, from this mystery, it gives us some very important experiences that we need to pay attention to. In these experiences, first, I want to tell it to you. You can use some English words to write them down. It's easier to remember. Because of this mystery, first, we have vision. Secondly, we have a mission. Third, we have a vocation. And number four, action. And number five, we have passion. Brothers and sisters, do you remember it all now? Let me say it again. Five words. These are words that are birthed from the mystery that are very important experiences. First is vision. Vision. Secondly, mission. Second, after you have vision, then you have mission. And then after your mission, there is a vocation. And then this vocation is a calling. So as a Christian, we need to be able to live out our vocation. And then you will have an action. And then from that action, then it will give birth to passion. If you understand English, you would know this word passion. On one hand, it is a zeal, but it could also be a suffering. This passion could also be translated as a suffering. And so first, I want to give these words to you. All these words come out of the word mystery. Now we need to understand, what is the mystery of Christ? We need the Holy Spirit within us to do this work of revelation. Vision has to do with the revelation of Christ. Vision is not just some extraordinary things. Now in church history, a lot of people had visions. Particularly the apostles or prophets, they had visions, like God in glory came and appeared. Now we saw that Jacob, he saw the ladder up to heaven. That was a great vision. Now sometimes God will use these illustrations to speak to man. But we do know that in the Old Testament, they are but a shadow. Now, the people back then in the Old Testament could not fully understand. But now God wants to, for God to explain his heart, his will to man, it is very difficult. Now, Jacob, the next day when he woke up, did he really understand what he saw? He just felt afraid. He was afraid at first, but then he wasn't afraid. And then he poured the oil on that pillar and said, God, if you bless me and you give me many things, then I will give you 10%. You see, Jacob, brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament, God uses visions to reveal himself to us. It's not like Jacob fully understand, but later on in his life, then we see that he gave birth to the 12 tribes. This had much to do with all of that. So vision, we know, is not just for Jacob. It was for the latter saints, the saints that came later on. If you read the book of Ezekiel, it's even more difficult to understand. So many strange visions and things. What are they talking about? God is using these pictures to try to explain his will. Today, if you have a little bit of understanding to his mystery, then you will understand these things in the mystery. Today, beneath the light of the Holy Spirit, God can explain all of these things so that we may understand and talk about the importance of it all. God, through vision, has brought many children of God back to his original condition so that they can understand the true substance and image of what God wants. Today, we often say the life of a prophet is a great paradox and a great suffering. The prophets, their mind is up in heaven. His understanding is all the things of the skies and of the heaven, but his body is on earth. And so today, when you read the book of the prophets, when they see the glory of God and his plan, it is so great and glorious. In their hearts, they're so excited. But when they look down on earth, the condition of the people of Israel, they weep. It causes them to have great suffering. Today, brothers and sisters, we still live in such a paradox, in such a conflict. When the Holy Spirit opens up our inner eyes and we see the meaning of the church, and we see the true meaning of Christ, it causes you to feel such glory, and we're so lifted up to heaven. But then when we see the church on earth, it causes us to be disappointed. It causes us to be sad, brothers and sisters. So oftentimes we see that the Christian life is such a paradox. It comes out of such a conflict, but vision is still very, very important. Vision opens up to us the mystery of God. Now, when we talk about vision, yes, there are big ones and small ones. Brother Tiasen Sparks tells us that visions is an enlargement. It's constantly getting larger and larger. The boundaries are constantly getting bigger and bigger, and more and more abundant. This is a very precious thing. Now, mystery will give birth to vision, so that man can understand God's mystery. He has given us vision. Honestly speaking, we need to be controlled by vision. We see so many churches. How many are controlled by vision? No wonder. Oftentimes, God's heart is shattered. Why? Because we're all just behaving according to outward religion. So when we compare with other religions, sometimes we can't even be compared with other religions. We really fall short of the Lord. We need his grace. I say again, you need to take all things. You need to look at all things according to God's mystery. That will be firm. So the relationship between co-workers, how are we united? We are united in vision. Then this is true unity. Not that you and I have some particular background or relationship, that because your family is very familiar with my family, and so therefore we are co-workers. No, brothers and sisters. That is unreliable. The relationship between co-workers needs to be united based on vision, because that is why we are co-workers. It's not because we're in the same gathering. No. To such a point, I often say, our marriage relationships is also for testimony. I use this word testimony. Actually, it is also because of vision. Now, when we say husband and wife relationship, how can it be based upon vision? Yes, we're based upon vision. When you take control of your family life, is it also based on vision? Yes, because if you have vision, it'll be different. Because from the perspective of vision, you will be like Paul. Paul is here teaching us. So from here on out, grab a hold of this main point, the book of Colossians. Every item that he talks about has to do with the mystery. Paul has received revelation. He has a vision. He wrote the book of Colossians. Brothers and sisters, do you understand when I explain it in this way? I hope that you will really think about this. Now, because there is vision, we now have mission. So today we find that in all of Christianity, people are talking about missions. We have this commission, that commission, but where did the commission or where did this mission come from? It comes from a vision, just like Paul. His mission came from vision. Because from the vision, he came to understand God's work, what God wants. And because God has also given him this entrustment, this mission, he has given this to him and to all brothers and sisters. Sadly, many Christians after our salvation, the worst are those who are just waiting to go to heaven. A little bit better, you want to love the Lord, you want to follow him, you want to sacrifice some. Very few have the sense of their mission. Do you have the sense? The sense of your mission? Do you have that sense? Many Christians don't. It tells us that you do not have any knowledge and understanding of God's mystery. Forgive me for saying, let me say again, this is not for a minority. In the past, perhaps it was for a minority in the Old Testament, but for the New Testament, it is for all the children of God. And then from the mission, now we have a vocation. Brothers and sisters, this is our vocation. Some people say that sharing the gospel is your vocation. I remember when we were young in the church, many brothers and sisters, when they were young, they said that sharing the gospel, evangelism is your vocation. And it caused us some great struggle because in the gospel meeting, we would invite two friends. And do you know that if you are on the street, you meet some people, can you share the gospel? I have seen some missionaries in different locations and countries. We have an elderly sister. She's like this. Sometimes she doesn't really share the gospel, but she always had gospel tracts with her. Every time she takes a cab, she would give the taxi driver a gospel tract. I have met people in China who do this as well. Many brothers and sisters, their condition is very good. I remember one time there was a large group of brothers and sisters. We went to a lake. We were on the lake on a boat. And many brothers and sisters, they were surrounding the crew members to share the gospel with them. They were sharing the gospel. They spoke about this, and then they spoke to that person. And next to them, I was greatly moved. I really thank the Lord. What is that? That this is a vocation. In the past, if we didn't meet a person and share the gospel with them, then when we came home, we felt sad and shortchanged. But now, is that vocation still in us? If you understand this mystery, then you'll be like Paul. Paul, when he had great zeal for the gospel, as soon as he went to a city and saw it was full of idols, he couldn't stand it anymore. He stood up and loudly would speak, to such a point where the entire city was in an uproar. When he went to a place, people were afraid of him. He says, "You're the one who overthrows everything has come to us. Paul has come." No matter where Paul went, everything was chaotic. When you imprisoned Paul, all the soldiers were saved, brothers and sisters. This Paul, he was like a disease, a virus, because wherever he went, he preached. A lot of people, they carry germs. Wherever they go, they carry it. They're a carrier. Now, as Christians, we need to be carriers. We carry Christ no matter where you go. As soon as people touch us, they become a Christian. This is how we ought to be. This is a vocation. So 2,000 years of church history, countless numbers of brothers and sisters their entire life, they placed it into God's hand. They became missionaries. The Western brothers and sisters in the past, they really sacrificed so much. So oftentimes I say, when you come to America, all major cities, there will be a city called Westminster. This is their pride. They remember the people who are missionaries. Almost every large city, there will be a road, a street called Westminster. Brothers and sisters, why? Because these people, starting from their mission, they had a vocation, a heavenly vocation, that to share the gospel is the vocation of the children of God. It's the same way in bearing testimony. Today, when we come to church, it's not think, well, I'm just a small brother, small sister. I just am responsible to bring my Bible to come and listen. No, brothers and sisters, you have a vocation that together with brothers and sisters, we bear the testimony for the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is very, very important. And so from this vocation, now we have action. And so we see from Jerusalem on, throughout the entire world. So now we have a book in the Bible called the Book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. They now have action. Brothers and sisters, why do we not have action today? It tells us that we do not have a sense of this mystery, almost to the point where we have no sense of it. And so the church has become very lazy. There's no action in the church. A lot of service things, we're just very passive. This mystery will give us action. Not only will we have action, but from that, now will we have passion. This zeal, brothers and sisters, when you touch the things of God, are you still on fire for it? Are you zealous or are you icy cold? Oftentimes in the church, even in singing hymns, we don't really have any heart for it. Such a good hymn, sometimes I feel. This hymn, which has so much provision, perhaps the young ones, they might like to sing, but I started to like to sing from my youth. Every time when we talk about singing hymns, I have great passion for it. Towards the Lord, do we still have passion for him? In this passion, it's not just zeal, but you need to pay a price. You need to suffer for it. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus, when he came to earth, in order to accomplish the will of the Father, he also had great passion and zeal in his heart, all the way up to the cross, all the way into the tomb until he was resurrected. And so, today, brothers and sisters, we know that when God works throughout the actions of the saints, the main reason for it is because of this mystery. So when we read the book of Colossians, when we read the book of Ephesians, we must understand this mystery. I hope that in these days, brothers and sisters, that together we can pray, we can meditate and look to the Lord to ask him to open up the eyes of our hearts. In this universe, it was created because of the mystery. It originally was a mystery. Humankind, it is because there is this mystery. That is why we have been created. Honestly speaking, it is quite mysterious to be a human, right? Do we understand ourselves? Not really. Even in our physical bodies, even doctors don't even fully understand it. It is truly a great mystery. Of course, this is a very outward thing, But in God's redemption upon us, he has saved us and he is building us to be the body of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, some things regarding the book of Colossians, these matters of the mystery, now because of time has already come, we need to conclude. But if the Lord allows, as we continue on in these points, we will still have some fellowship with brothers and sisters on these things. Now we hope that brothers and sisters, gradually you will come to understand that this mystery brings us to that true image, true substance. And we hope that through this mystery, that the true and important spiritual experiences of saints past will also become our experiences. I hope, brothers and sisters, young ones, I speak of this once and you will remember it because it's easy for you to remember. Vision, mission, vocation, action, and passion. Do you remember them now? Meditate on these five things. We hope that the Lord will give us sufficient light. Now today, our meeting will need to end here. And we still have a little bit of time. Let's have some prayer again. Together, let's come before the Lord to pray, to ask of him, and to look to his grace. Now, brothers and sisters, do keep your prayers short so we can have a few more. You do not need to preach a message, but for our own condition, we bring it before the Lord. We look to him so that at the end, in this little bit of time, we will still receive grace together before him. Let's have a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you say those who seek will find, those who ask will also receive. And so simply we rely on your words and place our hearts before you. You want to accomplish your work. And you who have called us, you are faithful. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we truly thank you for giving us these words. We do ask of you that these words would shine in our hearts. As we turn back to you, may you use these words to again attract us, change us, discipline us, so that we may grab a hold of your substance and mystery. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we thank you. God's mystery is Christ, and only Christ is all and in all. And so we want to say, we want to have the life of Christ mature and grow up in us. May we all see Christ. And may our lives be firmly rooted upon Christ, our rock. And through knowing you, now we have the wisdom of Christ. Lead our daily lives so that we would obey you. So that we would truly obey the true practical teaching of the anointing. I thank and praise my God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord, I thank you. You allow our hearts to love you. You have placed Christ before us. All the abundance of the Father is in you. You are the abundance of the Father. And we do want to love and desire after this mystery, so that together we can pursue after Christ, that Christ may be fully formed in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We are so small, and you have given such a mystery, such abundance, and entrusted it to us. We reverently come before you and say, Lord, do this work of breaking down. Break down all the which is of religion in us, so that we may be attracted by your glory. May we be grabbed a hold of by your mystery. Give us a humble and teachable heart as we seek before you. In your mercy, grab a hold of all of us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we thank you. And in your heart, you want all brothers and sisters in our daily lives to obey your leading. You know the condition of our hearts. We need to be more sensitive to you. Oftentimes, we look at the things on earth. But according to your promise, when we turn to you, may you take away the veil in front of our faces so that we may know and understand your mystery. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. May these words allow our hearts to return back before you. We who often pay attention to all the other outward things, may you turn our eyes upon you yourself, on your true substance, so that we may no longer be captured by falsehood, the temporary things and the vain things, but through knowing you, that in you we would have true building up and really be remembered by you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we give all the thanksgiving and worship to you. Before you, we have received such great grace and mercy. In these end days, you're so willing to reveal yourself. You want to reveal the hidden mysteries and secrets of your heart. And so through these words, may you bring us into the meaning of Christ, so that the meaning of Christ, we can truly understand it, so that you may gain that which you desire in the church. May you give wisdom and the spirit of revelation to us, so that in God's mystery, we may come to know your will. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, Lord, you so desire for us to be entirely for you. Open up our ears that we may come to understand, so that we may follow the teaching of the anointing in our daily lives. May our hearts be towards you and understand, so that these things would be reality. In your name we pray, amen. Lord, we thank you. No matter when we turn and seek and wait for you, you and the Holy Spirit leads us, Lord, then you will have a way in us, that we may be saved. We do pray that you would continue to open up our eyes. We do pray that you would lead us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We truly have received great grace and great mercy. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you have now opened up the mystery, the greatest secrets of your heart to us. We thank you. You are so willing to reveal these mysteries. And since you have already given us your beloved Son, we know that you will not withhold any goodness from us. So we pray that you would take us, take our hearts, so that we would be available to receive the vision that you want to give to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, we open up our mouths to thank and praise you. As we gather before you, we receive of your grace. We are a group of people who have vision, mission, vocation. Lord, we want to experience all of this, but at the same time, we lack passion for you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would once again show us mercy so that in this little bit of time that you would give us this passion, that we would come to love you, that we would be drawn by you, so that no matter what condition, Lord, in the vision you have given to us, in this mission and vocation, Lord, that we would not be lost. Lord, give us this passion. Then you will show us mercy so that we may be gained by you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you and worship you. Thank you for giving these words to us, because these words are our life and our vision. And it's our everything. You are our life. You are our pursuit. You are our Father. Our condition of being lukewarm, Lord, change us so that we may be hot for you. So that in our whole lives we be gained by you. We worship you. We thank you. We are people of vision. We are people who have a goal. Christ forever will be our vision. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us yourself, so that we may be attracted by your truth. There are so many other things outwardly, but may we not be a foolish person, that the eyes of our hearts may know that we cannot do without you. Show us mercy. Oftentimes we're not united with you. We're taken by outward things. But may our entire being be given to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we really need you to correct us. Oftentimes, we are taken by the things of the environment and the things we see. May you shine your light upon us so that we may see that which you want to give us far surpasses all that we pursue after today. We do pray that at the right time, do reveal your mystery to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, we do want to seek after knowing your mystery, no matter where we are. May you gain us where we are so that there be life in the location we're at. In your name we pray, amen. Brothers and sisters, I apologize because of time. We have already passed the time. We need to conclude here. I know still many brothers and sisters, you still have a desire. You want to pray. But later on after, you can still come back before the Lord and to pray for our condition. Now let's just arrange next time, next gathering. Let's take a look at our calendar. It will be September 11th. Do set apart this time, September 11th. Next time, let's still ask. Let's still have some testimonies for following the anointing. Please do think about it carefully. Forgive me, I know, brothers and sisters, you have many various stories and experiences. They're all precious. But this time, in this meeting, we do hope our focus will be centered more upon the true spiritual experiences. All the things outside of that, let's not talk about that, or some other meetings we can talk about it. But in this meeting, let's focus our sharing. And we can talk about following the anointing If you have it and the Lord has moved you, do not quench the leading of the Spirit. You can directly just tell us in the meeting or tell Brother Jianhui or the responsible brother at your location. Just let me know, and then we can arrange the time because our time is limited. We cannot have too many people. So please remember, when you share, 3 to 5 minutes is enough. You do not need to have the whole context of the background and the in great detail. As long as you know that main point of how the Holy Spirit has led you and how you were corrected by him, and that in that matter, you can have some fellowship there. We thank the Lord. Many brothers and sisters have given many good sharings, but we will gradually, we can now get on the right path. And I've said before, in this pursuit, perhaps we might conclude after we finish the book of Ephesians. I'm not too sure, but at least this is my burden for the path ahead. But don't worry, it's still early. There are still 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. So brothers and sisters, if you feel that Colossians, you have memorized it to such a point, you can start the book of Ephesians. You can start memorizing the book of Ephesians. Next time, I don't know whether or not we're going to start memorizing Ephesians, but in the book of Colossians, there are still many important truths and spiritual principles that we need to have fellowship on. I hope that in this way, as we fellowship, to allow brothers and sisters to not only will you memorize it and be very familiar, but that you can understand its meaning in such a way, then that which you memorize will be even more firmly established. So that no matter what the condition is, Colossians and Ephesians, the light of it and the important truths will all be in our hearts and minds. And this will impact our daily life, our service, our church life, as well as our worship, and also the path that we walk on. Forgive me for just repeating this over and over. I hope that you will also have some patience with me as we pursue together. All right, so September 11th. Brother Sun will change his book of Hebrew study. So September 11th should still work. The brothers in Hong Kong have a Bible study conference, and they wanted me to share on the book of Hebrews. And I cannot go. So they want to use a recording and a video to record it and send it over. Previously, it was the 11th. So September 11th, it will be this meeting. So no worries about the book of Hebrews. Just remember the 11th.